نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد نصركم الله ببدر وأنتم أذلة فاتقوا الله لعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العظيم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The beloved and respected personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a great mercy upon humanity that even the battles and the expeditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are termed as the ghazawat, they have great lesson, great direction and great guidance for the ummah. Just as the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the saum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contains guidance for the ummah, the battles and expeditions, the ghazawat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also contain great direction, lesson and guidance for the ummah. From among the ghazawat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, undoubtedly and definitely, the greatest and most virtuous ghazwa was ghazwatu Badr, the battle of Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this day of Badr Yawmul Furqan, the day of criterion, the day which decided and differentiated between haqq and batil, between the truth of Islam and the falsehood of kufr. It was very, very clearly shown to the world on the day of Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So inshallah, we will try and discuss various aspects of the battle of Badr and the lessons that we can apply in our lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received information that the trade caravan of Abu Sufyan was returning from Syria. Now this trade caravan was a very important caravan because it comprised of 1,000 camels laden with goods, which means there was a lot of wealth. In fact, figure has been given 50,000 dinars, which if we equate it in today's time or in our currency, perhaps it will equal to about 130 million rands. So this was the wealth that was contained in this caravan. There were 30 or 40 people in this caravan, and every person of the Quraysh, every male and every female of the Quraysh that had some wealth, contributed and invested in this caravan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to attack this caravan and to take the wealth as booty. Obviously there was no peace treaty between the Quraysh and the Muslims. They were at war. So it was perfectly fine for them to take this wealth as booty. Added to this was the fact that when the Muslims had migrated from Makkah Mukarramah and came to Madinah Munawwara, then many of them left behind their wealth in Makkah Mukarramah. And this wealth was usurped by these same people, by these kuffar. So when they would be attacking the trade caravan, they would also be taking back some things which belong to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to pursue this caravan, saying to them, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يُنَفِّلَكُمُوهَا. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant this to you as booty. In hadith of Muslim Sharif, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to get ready very quickly. So some Sahaba said that our conveyances are at the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, we don't have time for that. Whatever is ready, whoever is ready, and now they left. The intention was to attack the trade caravan which comprised of 30 to 40 people. They were not equipped for war. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also did not prepare for war. Rather, they came out with this intention. It was a Saturday, the 12th of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had departed from Madinah Munawwara in the second year after Hijrah, 19 months after the Hijrah, with approximately 313 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The most famous figure is 313, although there's other figures also mentioned. There were two or three horses. More famously two, one belonging to Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu an, and the other belonging to Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu an. And some narrations mention that Marthad ibn Abi Marthad al-Ghanawi radiallahu an also had a horse, which would make it three. And 70 camels. So 313 men, only 70 camels, 2 or 3 horses, which meant that they would need to take turns in riding. So 2 or 3 Sahaba radiallahu anhum would take turns to ride one camel. A very amazing point regarding this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also had a turn. He also had a turn with Ali radiallahu anhu and Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu in the beginning, and later on it was perhaps Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would also take turns. When the 2 Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam suggested to him that, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we would walk in your place. You can ride throughout the way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned a very, very amazing answer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ma antuma bi aqwa minni, wala ana bi aghna anil ajri minkuma. Firstly, physically, you don't have more strength than me. If you were stronger than me, then maybe I would ride all the way. And secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am also in need of thawab. I am not independent of thawab. Like how you also require thawab, I also require thawab. A great lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah. First of all, the aspect of equality. And then, desire for thawab. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was desirous of more thawab. Despite all the great fadail and virtues that Allah had blessed him with, all the great thawab that he had acquired, he still was desirous of more thawab. When leaving Medina Munawwara, then there were a few sahaba radiallahu anhum that were excused by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously it was not binding on every sahabi to leave. Very quickly this jamaat and this expedition was prepared. So it was not binding on every sahabi to come out, but together with this certain sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to remain behind in Medina Munawwara. One was his son-in-law, Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Because the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Ruqiyya radiallahu anha, was ill. She had measles. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Uthman radiallahu anhu that he should remain behind in Medina Munawwara to take care of her. And before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had returned to Medina Munawwara, Sayyida Ruqiyya radiallahu anha had passed away and left this world. Despite Uthman radiallahu anhu not participating in the battle of Badr, he is still regarded as a Badri sahabi. Both in terms of ajr, in terms of thawab, and in terms of getting a share from the booty. Because he remained behind because of a valid excuse. Another great lesson, that sometimes we may have certain emotions, we may have certain feelings to do certain things, but at that time there is a more important deeni need. For example, a person is desirous to go for Umrah, but he has aged parents that he needs to take care of, and there is no one that can take care of them. Now it becomes more important for this person to take care of those parents of his. There was one sahabi by the name of Abu Umama ibn Sa'laba radiallahu anhu. He had resolved, made up his mind that he's coming out in this battle. But his mother was ill. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him that you remain behind in Medina Munawwara and you take care of your mother. Like this, there were few sahaba radiallahu anhum that had excuses and they had valid reasons why they could not come out. Another very amazing incident was, there's a sahabi by the name of Sa'ad bin Khaythama radiallahu anhuma. Son and father both are sahaba. Father and son both wanted to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join this expedition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But both could not come out, one needed to remain behind. So they drew lots and the name of the son came out. So the father made a request to his son and he said, Oh my son, Ya Bunayya, Athirni al-yawm. Oh my son, give me preference. Allow me to go out. Allow me to go out today and you remain behind in Medina Munawwara. The father is requesting the son. The son gave a very, very amazing answer to the father. He says, Ya abati, law kana ghayra al-jannati fa'altu. Oh my father, if it was something other than jannat, then I would have given you preference. But here it's an issue of jannat. Yeah, I can't give you preference. You can be my father. But jannat comes first. Anything else you want, any other request you want, I will fulfill that request. So on one hand, he upheld the respect of the father. Oh my father, anything else besides jannat, I would have given it to you. But at the same time, he showed his desire and his longing for Jannat. So in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left with this group of 313 sahaba radiallahu anhum. Great virtues have been mentioned for these sahaba of Badr. Among the sahaba radiallahu anhum, the highest rank would be the Khulafa'i Rashideen, the Ashara Mubashara, and thereafter Ashabu Badr, Ahlu Badr. They hold a very high rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ أَوْ فَقَدْ وَجَبَتْ لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the people of Badr, the Sahaba of Badr, and he said to them that do whatever you want to do, Jannat has become binding upon you. And in one narration, فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ, I have forgiven you. This was not a license for the Sahaba of Badr to do sin. Rather, it was a guarantee that the Sahaba of Badr will never continue disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they made any slip, they would immediately rectify their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what he mentioned by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, do whatever you want to do, Jannat is wajib for you. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل النار أحد شهد بدراً. That no person who participated in Badr will enter the fire of Jahannam. On one occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, مَا تَعُدُّونَ أَهْلَ بَدْرٍ فِيكُمْ. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, among the Muslims, how do you view the people of Badr? What is their rank? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. They are the most virtuous of the Muslims. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The same applies to those malaika that participated in Badr. They are أَفْضَلُ الْمَلَائِكَ. They are the most virtuous of the malaika. It is mentioned, there's such barakat in the names of the Sahaba of Badr, that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has only mentioned 46 names in one place together. There's some reason why he mentioned these 46 names together in his Sahih. The experience of the ulama is, that when a person reads the names of these Ashabu Badr, not all the Sahaba of Badr, just these Sahaba that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned, and he makes dua, his dua would be accepted because of the barakat of these names of the Sahaba of Badr radiallahu anhum. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa left Medina Munawwara, he camped about 1 mile out of Medina Munawwara at a place named Bi'r Abi Inaba. And here Rasulullah sallallahu inspected the army. And those that were underage were sent back to Medina Munawwara. Like Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhuma, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, Rafi ibn Khadij radiallahu anhu. These young Sahaba were sent back to Medina Munawwara. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu says, I saw my brother, Umair bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, who was only 16 years of age. I saw him hiding. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspecting, I see him hiding, trying to duck, trying to conceal himself. So I say to him, oh my brother, why are you hiding? He says, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees me, he would send me back to Medina Munawwara. However, I want to come out. أنا أحب الخروج لعل الله يرزقني الشهادة. I love to come out in the path of Allah. Perhaps Allah will bless me with martyrdom and bless me with shahadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Umair bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, and he tells him that you are too young to come out. He begins to cry. He is crying because he is not accepted to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is stark contrast between the aspirations and desires of the youth of Sahaba and the desire of our youth today. He is crying because he doesn't have the privilege and opportunity to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on his sincerity. To come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah s.a.w. permits him, he allows him to come out and join the expedition. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says that he was so short that when the sword was hanging around his neck, then it would be dragging on the ground. So we had to make knots on the strap of the sword to lift it up so he doesn't drag on the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this young sahabi, Umair bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, with shahadat in this battle, based on his desire. And he was killed by the famous warrior of the Quraysh, Amr ibn Abdiwud, a very, very powerful warrior of the Quraysh. He killed Umair bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, which meant that this young sahabi even went to challenge that brave warrior. These were a few incidents relating to the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left from this place, Buyutu Suqya, Bi'r Abi Inaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. And he said, Allahumma innahum hufatun fahmilhum. Oh Allah, my sahaba are barefooted. They do not have conveyances. They don't have decent shoes. Oh Allah, you grant them conveyances. Allahumma innahum uratun faqsuhum. Oh Allah, they don't have proper clothing. Oh Allah, you bless them with clothing. Allahumma innahum jia'un faashbi'hum. Oh Allah, they are hungry. You give them food. Wa fi riwayatin wa alatun faaghnihim. Oh Allah, they are poor. You give them wealth. And when sahaba returned to Medina Munawwara, one sahabi had 2 to 3 conveyances. as booty they received from the spoils of war. One Sahabi had 2 to 3 conveyances. Allah blessed them with clothing. Allah blessed them with food. Allah blessed them with slaves. Those Sahaba that were paupers, now they became owners of slaves and prisoners of war. And they received ransom in lieu of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them on our behalf. The best of reward. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.